May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing hymn 264. 264. Far from my thoughts, vain world be gone. Let my religious hours alone. Fain with my eyes my Saviour see. I wait a visit, Lord, from thee. Hymn 264.
Thank you. Let's read together from the Word of God. Peter's first epistle, and reading from chapter 4. Reading from Peter's first epistle and from chapter 4. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. May the Lord bless that reading of his word of truth to us, and may he help us to call upon him in prayer. Lord, Thou who art our God in heaven, and thou who lookest down upon thy people, and lookest down upon them in thy love and in thy mercy, thy compassion and pity. Look down upon this gathering, Lord. We have each appeared before thee and at thy feet to worship thee. And we do pray, Lord, that blessing may be ours. Unto this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. Oh, may that be our portion, Lord, to come to thy feet, and, Lord, to be nothing in and of ourselves, to come, Lord, in all our need and in all our need and insufficiency of ourselves, to come to thee who art all-sufficient, to help us and to bring us near to thee. That is what we want to feel, Lord, and be found in our experience, to be drawn to thee in faith and in love, that we might serve thee upon this occasion, and that we may come again into the wonderful union and relationship that we have with thee, our belonging to thee, and by and through that precious blood of thine that thou hast shed for sinners, that blood that atoned for all our sins, and that blood that brought peace to our consciences, and that precious blood that redeemed us unto God the Father and brought us unto him. Oh, we seek, Lord, that we may be blessed in our souls, that thou wilt appear for each one of us, and, Lord, that there may be some blessing, Lord, following, Lord, thy word, thy gospel, something, Lord, that we can take with us, Lord, something that is a witness, Lord, in our souls, a testimony that we've been with Jesus, and that we may be helped and enabled to speak well of thy name and the wonders of thy grace, that grace that changes sinners, that grace that will bring sinners to thyself, that grace that will behold a suffering Christ in our room and place at Calvary. Grace, Lord, to know the sweetness and the blessedness of pardon and forgiveness through the merits, the life, the shed blood of Jesus. O Lord, may that blessing be ours this evening, our Lord, and a token for good in our poor souls, that thou hast done it for us. O Lord, we do pray then, work in each of our hearts, Lord, by thy grace. And we pray, Lord, that we may be drawn to thee, to serve thee, to worship thee, give glory to thy name. And we do pray, Lord, that we may be those, Lord, that shall have a further witness in our souls as we journey forth here below of that place that thou hast reserved for us in heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. And Lord, we have come thus far, Lord. But Lord, how many indeed of us have some token, Lord, that thou hast reserved our inheritance for us. We do pray, Lord, that we may have, Lord, through thy Spirit, some token of that place, Lord, that thou hast laid up for them that love thee. Oh, be pleased, Lord, to lead us forth again and again by thy Spirit into the truth and the blessing of it, the promise of it, Lord. And that it may be that, Lord, that shall truly humble us under thy mighty hand, a sense and a knowledge, Lord, of our undeserving of it, Lord. But, Lord, it is thy grace that abounded over all our sins, and that is our mercy, Lord, and that grace has reserved a place for us in heaven. O Lord, if there be any, Lord, that do not appear to have this token, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt work graciously in their hearts, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to behold thyself to them, to be that they might behold thee, Lord, as that one, a saviour of sinners, and that one that was sent to save them. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt, Lord, draw them unto thee, Lord, or that they might be made sensible of their need as sinners and drawn to Christ for mercy and salvation. O Lord, we do pray that there shall not be any left here outside of the secret of thy dying love to their souls, we pray thee. O Lord, we do pray that if, Lord, thou hast given an interest to come into the means of grace, O give them an interest, Lord, to seek thee for mercy, an interest in the respect of their never-dying immortal souls, the great need, Lord. What if ye should gain the whole world and lose your own soul? O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt, Lord, show also, Lord, that there is eternity before each one of us. And Lord, we do not know when, Lord, we shall enter into that eternity. It is a divinely appointed time, Lord, for every one of us. But Lord, we do pray that we may be found those, Lord, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And that redeeming the time, Lord, to seek and to find, Lord, that time. O Lord, to be able to turn aside, Lord, to be able to come before thee, perhaps in secret, Lord, to turn to thee, Lord, to plead for mercy, redeeming the time. O do, Lord, we pray thee, grant it, Lord. And Lord, that thou wilt, Lord, in that redeeming of time, Lord, it may mean, Lord, that we cannot live for another day. We do not know, Lord, that we shall see another day, redeeming the time, as if there was not another day, Lord. Oh, do come, Lord, and show to us the solemn truth of our need as sinners, and awaken, Lord, bring us near to thee, Lord, as our only hope of salvation, and that thou wilt work graciously in each heart, Lord, and that there may be in this house of prayer, Lord, through thy grace, that gathering in, Lord, into the fold of thy grace, the shepherd gathering in the sheep into his fold. O Lord, may we see it, Lord. May we behold it in the midst of us. And may we see true repentance, Lord, seeking, pleading for mercy. O Lord, pray that thou wilt, Lord, appear then in thy gracious power, change the heart, renew the will, turn their feet to Zion's hill, we pray thee. And we do pray, Lord, thou knowest, for those that are near and dear to us, connected with us in worship, Lord, our families, our children, children's children, Lord, and those, Lord, whom we're acquainted with, Lord, in many places thou knowest. Oh, that, Lord, thy mercy may come to them, Lord. And thou knowest how that we visit many churches and chapels, Lord, quite a number in the congregation of a few of them, Lord, but there are very few, Lord, that have known thy free and sovereign grace in salvation. And so, Lord, we do pray for it in this day in which we live, that there may be a gathering in, Lord, we pray thee, work graciously, Lord. We pray, Lord, before them, for thou knowest, Lord, how that we, Lord, plead their cause, plead on their behalf, and pray, Lord, that they might know, Lord, that mercy that saves sinners. O Lord, do come in thy rich grace, Lord, and bring them, Lord, to see and to know about themselves, their own hearts by nature, and, Lord, bring them in guilty, Lord. And then, Lord, we do pray that they may be those, Lord, blessed with that spirit of repentance and faith toward the Lord Jesus, a believing faith in a precious Christ. And, O Lord, we do pray then that thou wilt, Lord, remove all hindrances, Lord, from their path. We know, Lord, that the roaring lion, even Satan himself, still walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And, Lord, he is that one, Lord, that will seek, Lord, to hinder the path, Lord, of a seeking soul. But, Lord, grant them that faith that looks to Jesus. And, Lord, he is that one that carries that poison, Lord, that venom of unbelief, Lord. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt so teach the coming sinner that thou art able to save to the uttermost, and, Lord, to keep and preserve them, Lord, from looking to themselves and looking to their awful lives and their sins that they've lived, sins that they've committed here below, Lord, in heart, in mind, and be pleased, Lord, to show deliverance and mercy. And so, Lord, we ask it. And we do pray, Lord, then that thou wilt draw near to us and help us to worship again this evening, our Lord, and come to our help and come to our need, Lord. O Lord, grace has made us poor, and grace has laid us low, Lord, and grace has brought us into that place of weakness. And that grace, Lord, has brought us to the place of helplessness. But, O Lord, it is to resort to thee, to become needy, and to wait upon thee. And, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt then be pleased to appear for us. For then, Lord, we can lean upon thee and trust in thy name. O Lord, we think of thy word, I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people. Oh, how can they continue? How can they go forth, Lord, an afflicted and a poor people, cast down, burdened with sin, the trying path, the infirmities, the sicknesses, the trials, the tribulations? How can they continue, Lord? And they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Oh, we thank thee, Lord. There is one that we can look to, one that we can lean upon and trust in, even the rock Christ Jesus. So be pleased, Lord, we pray thee to appear. For the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And but the Lord knoweth them that trusteth in him. O Lord, we do pray that that may then be the blessing for each one of us. So do draw near to us in all our way and path. Keep us close unto thee, Lord. Help us to walk in truth, doctrine and truth, Lord. Help us to embrace the doctrines of free and sovereign grace, thine everlasting love, thine eternal choice of some from lost mankind, that eternal salvation blessed to sinners through Jesus, and the blessing, Lord, of his incarnation to come and to show that salvation in his sufferings and death upon the cross at Calvary, the precious Christ. O Lord, we do pray. Oh, that it was for sinners. And so, Lord, hear us in our prayers and petitions. Be with thy church and people here that gather together week by week in thy name. Watch over them, Lord. Preside over all their affairs. Give grace, Lord, to the deacons and to the members also, Lord. And then also for those, Lord, that are seekers and seeking to know the fellowship and union. Give grace, Lord. And so, Lord, we do pray. Watch over them each in all their way and path. Undertake their cause and interest, we pray thee, Lord. And pray that they may be those, Lord, in all their needs, to resort unto thee, Lord. The only helper, the only one that can bring us through our course here below. Our dependence is upon thee, Lord. Waiting upon thee, the throne of grace. Lord, help us then to continue and persevere even unto the end. Lord, we do pray, rule and reign in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, continue to teach us our need of thee day by day, Lord. Be with us in our homes, Lord. Be with us, Lord, in all our way and path, those things, Lord, that may come in and upon us, Lord, and trouble us and trials and tribulations. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt order the footsteps of thy people and keep them and preserve them, Lord, unto thee, and be that one, Lord, to show them and to guide them all their journey through. O Lord, be the keeper of their never-dying immortal souls. Watch over them for good. And Lord, we do pray, you know, that thou wilt then be pleased to draw near to this thy people here, Lord, each and every one. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with us, Lord, as we seek to remember thee following, Lord, our service this evening. And Lord, of what thou didst come to do for sinners. O Lord, we do pray, grant that humbleness, Lord, that humble spirit to come before thee. And know, Lord, that it was for us, Lord, and for our sins and iniquities that thou didst suffer, bleed and die upon the cross. And Lord, we do pray that we may be brought then into the remembrance, Lord, of the taking, Lord, of the bread and the wine. And so, Lord, by faith, to see thee again in our room and place at Calvary. Do, Lord, then be with us each, watch over us in our way and path. Pardon and forgive our every sin. We ask it in that all-precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's continue by singing hymn 275. 275. Let me, thou sovereign Lord of all, low at thy footstool humbly fall, and while I feel affliction's rod, be still and know that thou art God. Hymn 275.
Thank you.
Seeking the help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 4, reading from verses 18 and 19. First epistle of Peter, chapter 4, reading from verses 18 and 19. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And we spake just a few thoughts in respect of all those whom Jesus came to suffer, bleed, and to die for. Whosoever. It is a great mercy to be one of that number. And I pray that we may know what it is to earnestly seek and to pray the Lord, that we may be one of those who are drawn to Calvary to see a suffering Christ in our room and place. It is one of the most important truths of the gospel to know Christ, to know that mercy that flows through his sin-atoning blood. And by and through what Christ came to do for sinners in his sufferings and in his death. It is that suffering that Christ showed, dear friends, in his own body upon the cross at Calvary. The wounds, the bruises. All his bones out of joint. The sufferings, the agonies, the pain. He was a real man. The pain and all that he passed through so that his people should never experience those things themselves. Because there is a day coming, dear friends, when there shall be a dividing, a separating. There should be those that should be go forth to the right hand as the sheep who were gathered into his pasture. Then the solemn truth concerning the goats, the hell and the damnation that shall belong to them. We're clearly shown in Holy Scripture there's only two people, two nations, there's only two ways. And we're either mercifully in the one or very solemnly left in the other. It is proper that we should speak plainly about these things. There's no midway. There's no purgatory in this book like it is in some, where they've got a chance to repent. Not at all. And what we spoke of this morning in respect of the Lord Jesus, for the Son of Man must be lifted up. It is our mercy, dear friends, to know that it was our sins that fastened him upon the tree at Calvary, that lifted him up. But there's something quite important also that follows that. And that is the words of our text. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, the righteous. It must be, dear friends, that we do stand righteous, whole, complete, unblameable, unreprovable, before a holy and a righteous God. And Jesus came to provide a wondrous robe of righteousness to adorn our naked souls. And it is here then that the Lord Jesus will seal his people to heaven and glory. We must be whole and complete in and through him. It's the merits of his life, the merits of his sufferings and death, the perfect obedience to the will of his heavenly Father, that he endured and passed through for his people. And dear friends, it is a great mercy to know what it is for our souls to be adorned. It must be so, to be accepted of God the Father, so that God the Father can see and behold his people, just in that same way that he can see and behold his dearly beloved Son in his righteousness. We must be righteous. I was just thinking of a word that will show to us that. First, it is our sins that are put away. It's in Zacharias and in chapter 3, it's our sins that shall be put away. And then the wonderful truth, gloriously clothed upon by and through that robe of righteousness which he wrought for his people at Calvary. It's what he wrought in the whole of his life, really, this robe of righteousness. It's everything that he was. The offices and characters that he held here below. All that he came and fulfilled for his heavenly Father and for his people. Joshua the high priest was standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, "The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" You know, wherever there's a coming sinner to Jesus, Satan will be there. Don't let him hinder thee, dear friends. He hates the gospel. He hates the Lord Jesus. And he hates all those that are enjoined unto him in faith and love. Is that same serpent was in the beginning. He's no different. He's called a roaring lion here. He was an angel of light, dear friends, in the Garden of Eden. An angel of light. A crafty one. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Joshua, dear friends, it's here as a sort of a restoring of the children of Israel out of their captivity into the land of their inheritance. Well, but spiritually is a type of the church, dear friends, in their great salvation. And so here we have this truth. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Dear friends, have we been taught that all our clothes are filthy garments? All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Have we been taught that? It is true. There is no good thing to be found in us by nature. Nothing that God can look upon. No. We're all unholy, unclean. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." Dear friends, there must be a glorious change in our lives. What grace will do when it comes upon the heart, dear friends, it will wean us away from this world. It will wean us away from ourselves. It will bring us to hate our sins and iniquities. It will bring us to abhor ourselves and to repent in dust and ashes. That is what grace will do. It will bring us to nothing. Take away the filthy garments from him, and unto him he said, Behold, I've caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. Jesus, oh, for the Son of Man must be lifted up. Dear friends, here is the wonderful truth of this word here. Those iniquities, I've caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. It's only through a suffering Christ upon the cross at Calvary. There's no forgiveness anywhere else. There's no mercy anywhere else. Nowhere. It's Christ. Christ, the one thing needful. Oh, dear friends, press and urge thy case. And I spoke about redeeming the time. I know that it means many other things, dear friends. But if the Lord trouble thee about thy sins, You will be redeeming the time. You will want all the time that there is, dear friends, to plead your cause before a holy and a righteous God. Why? Because, dear friends, you won't be able to bear those sins. No, they'll bring you into suffering. I know that it has taken some of the Lord's dear people into hospital. And of course, the hospital can't deal with sins, can they? The Lord can. And the Lord, the Spirit, will. Take away the filthy garments from him, and unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. Now here, dear friends, is the change so needful and so important, so necessary for us. And it is that imputed righteousness of Jesus. Oh, when the poor sinner has known and felt their sins pardoned and forgiven, dear friends, it will be a great mercy. It's the greatest blessing that can come from heaven into the soul of a poor child of God, dear friends. It is a pardoned and forgiven sinner through the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, he came to shed his blood, dear friends. He came to give his life for sinners. And he came, dear friends, because to save his people from their sins. And he has done it. Are we of that number? Whosoever. Dear friends, plead thy cause. This is the mercy. And then, and sins are pardoned and forgiven, the soul will be blessed with the imputed righteousness of Jesus. This poor soul will be accepted unto God the Father, received by him, loved by him. Oh, this is the pure gospel, dear friends. It's salvation. And you know, we spake this morning of that host of the children of Israel, the brazen serpent was lifted up so that even the farthest and the distant could look upon that brazen serpent. Dear friends, it must be seen for them to live. And isn't it also this truth, spiritually, those that feel themselves to be so far off, so undone, so unclean, so wicked, so evil, dear friends, look up to Jesus. Look up to Jesus. Oh, have that believing faith in him and what his heavenly Father sent him to do. It's to gather the church to himself. Oh, to stand forth then. The king's daughter is all glorious within. And oh, what a mercy then to come to the words of our text here. And if the righteous These are loved of God, and they become God's children. And He's that one that will love them, care for them, watch over them, preside over all their affairs. It will be that one, dear friends, to undertake their cause and interest here below. Oh, to know this truth and to be accepted by Him. And He looks upon His people as He sees and beholds them as His dearly beloved Son. They do stand righteous, and it must be so. But it says here, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, how is it? Scarcely be saved? It doesn't mean salvation. No, it means this, dear friends. And our second hymn was a good hymn towards it. It's those, dear friends, passing through so much trouble and trials and tribulations here below. Oh, those indeed who in their lives persecuted, tried and tempted, the trials, the tribulations in the way. Oh, how shall they come through? How shall they come through, dear friends, their course here below? How shall they be helped to continue, these righteous ones? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, dear friends, yes, it is the truth for the Lord's people, isn't it? They will be brought to pass through trials and afflictions and troubles, one sort and another here below. And there's one continued trouble and trial that they will have to the end of their days, and that is their sins and iniquities. As I mentioned this morning, we still carry and bear with us, dear friends, that awful old nature, and that is full of sin. It's a heart that is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things, and who can know it? It will be a trouble and a burden. It will let us down, dear friends, if we're left to ourselves. It will. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, it's passing through that strait and that narrow way, the straight way, the straight gate. It's a narrow gate. It's so narrow, dear friend, it's so difficult to get through it. When troubles and trials and afflictions come into our way and path, dear friend, this is on our way to the kingdom. But how shall we get through? How shall we come through? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, and it is true then, passing through the struggles of this life, you know, I have to confess that there was a time, dear friends, I cried to the Lord. I was so overcome by sin. And you might say, what? A righteous man? Overcome by sin? Still got this bad heart, dear friends. Desperately wicked heart. Paul was troubled by it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And I was so burdened and troubled by this sin within me. And I had to ask the Lord, Lord, how shall I ever get to heaven? How can I get there? It so troubled me and burdened me. And in a few days, He came. And you know what He said? It's a wonderful truth. He spoke to me and set me free. And He said, fear not, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And I cannot tell you, dear friends, what my poor soul felt when he spoke that word into my soul. What did it mean to me? Ye are of more value than many sparrows. I saw him hanging upon the tree at Calvary. And dear friend, there was no one more valuable than his people when he was upon the cross at Calvary. And I saw myself as one of them. Fear not, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And I saw Jesus suffering in my room and place. And I saw how precious my soul was to him. Ye are of more value. And my sins fled from me, dear friends. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, well, I thought the second hymn fitted so well, really. I've just left it on the page because, you know, it is a truth. And that the Lord, and be still and know that I am God. When and wherever thou shalt smite, teach me to own thy sovereign right. And underneath the heaviest load, be still and know that thou art God. Till set this truth, support my mind. Thou canst not turn or be unkind, and thus approve thy chastening rod, and know that thou art my Father God. Oh, it's in the in the path of affliction, trials and troubles here below, and they will come upon the Lord's dear people. How shall they come through? This straight, this narrow way. Hardly room to get through, dear friends. Well, the Lord Jesus is that one, isn't he? To bring his people through their troubles, through their trials. He said, I will be with thee passing through the waters. Oh, he helps us on, dear friends. He hasn't shown to us there will be a complete deliverance. I will be with thee. And if the Lord is with us, in our troubles and in our trials, dear friends, that will be the greatest mercy. You know, he is that only one that can support and strengthen our poor souls. There is no other one that we can lean upon and trust in here below, dear friends, but the Lord to bring us through our cause here below. And, well, we will experience these things. But the Lord is that one that will appear for us, and as it was declared, we have to, dear friends, wait upon him. Be still, know that I am God. Oh, this is the mercy, isn't it? And isn't it testing to faith? Isn't it testing to faith? The troubles and the trials and the afflictions that we're brought to pass through. Oh, we're not to murmur and to complain in respect of them. The Lord is in them all, and there is good and intended purpose in them all. His love is in every trial and every trouble that we're brought to pass through. His love is in it. It may sound strange, but it is. He knows what is good for us. As we pass through this earthly scene, he knows how to appear for us, and he knows how to restore us and bring us back to him when our poor hearts become sadly wandering away from him. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, and yes, I've mentioned those besetting sins, dear friends, they will be a trouble and a plague to us all our journey through. But we, you know, I believe that Paul discovered that he had an advocate in heaven, Jesus Christ the righteous. Or if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Lord, Jesus Christ the righteous, an advocate of our God. And it was he that became a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, It is through that precious blood that he shed for sinners. Oh, its virtue and its power, dear friends, is applied through the Spirit. It is able to heal. It is able to restore. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, and it'll be a struggle then to get through. And it will be a struggle, dear friends. We have to continue to call upon the name of the Lord. Continue to venture to the throne of grace. He is our only hope to bring us through our troubles and trials. And one of the things that we mustn't do, dear friends, is to try and bring ourselves through them. We'll just get into deeper trouble. The trial will become deeper. Make no mistake about that. You see, these are the poor and the needy ones now, and they need the Lord, and they need the Lord to manage for them. They cannot do anything in and of themselves. Jesus has told us that. Without me, ye can do nothing. And it is of a truth. But dear friends, what a blessing it is to know the mercy seat, to come to Jesus. He is that one that will bring us through our course and to the end of our days. See the case of Job, dear friends. However could he have got through one thing and another? Well, dear friends, the Lord will grant the graces of his Spirit upon his people. He was one that was upright, dear friends. Yes, he stood righteous through the precious blood of Jesus and his righteousness. It was faith in him. But he was one, dear friends, that feared the Lord. And that fear of the Lord is the whole worship of God, dear friends. It's everything in worship. And it was that fear of the Lord that held him. It was that fear of the Lord, dear friends, that enabled him to continue. And he knew that these things were divinely appointed. It is our mercy then to be brought to this knowledge. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Well, dear friends, they're going to appear at the judgment bar, aren't they, ultimately? The ungodly and the sinner, those that have never known redeeming love and blood, those who have been careless and indifferent in respect of the need of their never-dying immortal souls. They haven't been brought to see how precious their souls are. No, it's been hidden from them. Very solemn, isn't it? To have Christ hidden. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Well, it says here, it says in verse 5, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Oh, we must all stand before him. We have to give an account of our lives. And dear friends, he has seen everything, hasn't he? We cannot escape from anything. He is omniscient, omnipresent, sees all. Nothing can pass by. And he is going to become the judge of all the earth. Jesus is ordained to be this judge. And he will come. And that will be the solemn truth. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? That judgment day, dear friends. The certainty of it. There will be a dividing. The sheep and the goats. I just go to a word in respect of it. We will see it from Scripture. It is of a truth, and that the ministers of the gospel, they have to give an account of their stewardship, you know. They have to give an account of their stewardship. We pray that we may preach a faithful ministry, a faithful word. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Dear friends, there's going to be that time when we shall have to answer before a holy and a righteous God our lives, the lives that we have lived here below. And dear friends, we want Jesus to be in our lives, don't we? We want his precious blood and this righteousness to adorn our naked soul. We need Jesus. Oh, we want to be one of those sheep, dear friends, those that he will divide to himself. Oh, these are those that are precious to him. Why? He hung and suffered, bled and died for them. He gave his life for them to be a ransom. He paid the ransom price. Dear friends, all their sins are gone from them. They shall stand whole and complete before him in that great day. There will be no charges made against them. No, Jesus took them all upon himself at Calvary. Oh, every last sin, dear friends, nothing to condemn thee. It's a great mercy, isn't it? Oh, it is. And so we have the truth here. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And there's something else, dear friends. We don't know when the Lord will come, do we? No, we don't. We live in solemn times, and there's many signs, dear friends, today that we're coming nearer to that time, the consummation of all things. Are our souls ready, dear friends? Ready to meet our God? Well, it's something to pray about. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, doesn't mean to say they won't be saved, but dear friends, it's coming through. Paul had great trouble in preaching the gospel, didn't he? Read it in the Acts of the Apostles and in the epistles that he wrote. The troubles and the trials that he was brought to pass through. Who is it, dear friends, that brought him through? Jesus said he must suffer many things for my sake. And so he did. But the Lord was his helper. The Lord brought him through. Having obtained help of God, I continue to this day. Oh, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God. Now then, there's something here. It's in the purposes of our God, dear friends, that we should pass this way. What is it to do, dear friends? It's to clear us out, dear friends, of all the dross that is found in us. It's that, dear friends, that will bring us continually to see that he alone is that only one that can bring us through our course. And when these troubles and trials and afflictions come in and upon us, it's to pray to the Lord for that divine submission given to us from heaven. We need it, and it's to submit to his sovereign will in all our way and path, in whatever the Lord may be pleased to bring upon us, whether it be sickness, disease, infirmities, afflictions, troubles, trials, here below, dear friends. It has come divinely into our way and path. It's the will of our God. It may not be a comfortable way and a comfortable path. May surely be those crooked things, crooked places, rough places. But they're divinely appointed. And what are they divinely appointed for? To bring us, dear friends, to Jesus. To submit to him. It may be in that other word which just comes upon our mind, that those all things working together for good, to them that love God and to them who are the called according to purpose, all things working together for good. Even, dear friends, our afflictions and our troubles and our trials here below, what have they done for us? Have they brought us to Jesus? Have they brought us to look to him, to wait upon him, to seek him for his care and his keeping hand towards us? We won't come through our course, dear friends, without him. No. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. You know, these scattered strangers here, they suffered. They were persecuted. They were tried. But you see, our case is that case that the Lord will bring us to pass through. It's personal to the Lord's dear people. It won't be a straight path, dear friends, no. But what we will see the mercy of our God in that path. We will be able to speak of many deliverances. Yes. You see, David through that wilderness, and Saul, his father-in-law, pursuing after him, and yet see the troubles and the trials that David passed through in respect of that. He was never comfortable. Saul was determined, dear friends, to take his life, make no mistake about it. But the Lord preserved him, the Lord kept him, and it kept David at the throne of grace, didn't it? And it will keep us at the throne of grace. You see, it's the will of the Lord. And hasn't he taken us, dear friends, into divine ownership? Isn't it true that we shall follow through with his will and his purposes concerning us? He owns us. We're the purchase of Christ's blood. We're not our own anymore, bought with a price. And we have to follow the Lord through these things. But dear friends, he does everything in love. Everything is in love, dear friends, to thy soul, to my soul. He will reprove, he will correct, and he will chasten his people. There is no doubt about it. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. Let us know that grace, dear friends. Humbleness. Let us see the path of Jesus. See the path of Jesus. See the afflictive path he walked out here below. See the temptations. See the evil and the malice that was wrought out upon him. See the wickedness. See how he suffered. See how he endured. See how he continued. Let us follow Jesus. Let us follow in his steps. Will be our mercy. His will concerning us. Commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. And this is one of the purposes. It is he that will keep and preserve our never-dying immortal souls. And I just thought of one or two things in respect of this. In the Psalms, we have a wonderful psalm shown to us in Psalm 66. And it says in verse 9, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. What does it mean, he holdeth our soul in life? It isn't in that necessarily in that life natural that we have, but he holds our soul in that new life of grace, that spiritual life that he has wrought in us. He holds our soul in that life, dear friends, and it is our mercy that he does so. Only he can do so, to hold our souls in life, or to keep us from falling, and to keep our feet, dear friends. The Lord holds our soul in life. Oh, he upholds us and keeps our souls, dear friends. Oh, we should fall 1,000 times a day, dear friends, if the Lord were not the keeper and the preserver of our never-dying immortal souls. He holds our souls in life. He holds them, dear friends. He holds our souls in body. But, dear friends, when the Lord will be pleased to take us to himself, body and soul will be separated. And even then, the Lord will preserve our bodies in the dust. Oh, he will. They're going to rise again. They're sleeping. You see, they sleep in Jesus. But the soul takes flight to him, dear friends. And the Lord is that one that will keep our souls, commit the keeping of their souls to him. And we commit our souls to him. He is that one, only one that can preserve and keep us. Psalm 121. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Dear friends, it's that new part that the Lord has given to us, isn't it? It's that new part, the soul. It's his. It's divinely owned. And he will keep it. He will preserve it unto himself. It's his own work of grace in the soul of a poor sinner, dear friends. And he will hold it. Oh, what a mercy it is. He will preserve it. And he will preserve it. He will bring us all our journey through. Oh, this is our mercy. Commit the keeping of their souls to him. I just thought of that word also, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to preserve you. Unto his kingdom, I believe the word is, if I can just find it. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And isn't that the truth? Only he can keep and preserve our never-dying immortal souls. I just go to another word which may be a word to comfort us, dear friends. And it is a word for all of his people. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Oh, dear friends, this is the mercy that belongs to the Lord's dear people. And the Lord will keep them. He will preserve his people. He will bring them to the end. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. And dear friends, the soul, the Lord's people, they are those indeed that seek and desire to do all well-doing. They seek truly to follow the Lord Jesus and well-doing in respect of the brethren, the love to the brethren, the prayers that are offered up for each one of us. We pray for one another. We seek the spiritual good and welfare of each other. We pray to the Lord that he will undertake the cause and the interest of each one of us in well-doing. We come to the help and we come to the need of the Lord's poor people. And we're those, dear friends, that will seek to support and strengthen them. And particularly by and through his word, that is a support and a strength to them. You know, the Lord strengthened the soul of John the Baptist when he was in prison. He sent his two disciples to the Lord Jesus. Is it he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus, he was that one that healed the brokenhearted, preached the gospel, delivered the captives, opened the eyes of the blind. And dear friends, that was the testimony. And that was just what John Baptist wanted to hear. Why? Because his head was going to be taken off. And what a comfort he had in his soul that he was right with the Lord. Well, dear friends, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing. May we know this well-doing. It's that follows in the new man of grace. We love the brethren. We pray for them. We come and seek and help each and every one of them, the infirm, the sick, the tried, the tempted, into well-doing as unto a faithful creator. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he is a faithful creator. He spake all into being, and it was, he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Unto a faithful creator, we may see all about us, dear friends, his creation and his work, and we can admire it. You see, we can admire it. Well, dear friends, a faithful creator, isn't he also that one? Aren't his people created anew, formed anew? Faithful creator, that is the truth, isn't it? Formed anew. And we will always find that the Lord is faithful. Throughout the whole of the scripture, we see a faithful God. In the whole of his word and regarding all his people from the beginning of time and it shall be to the end of time, we will know that he is a faithful God. And dear friends, that is our greatest blessing, that he is faithful, who hath promised, he is faithful in all his word and promises, faithful to his people. He will never fail them, he will never let them down. He is faithful. And it is this faithful God, dear friends, that will bring us to the end of our days in triumph and in victory over all our enemies. And we shall at the last be with him and where he is. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, is unto a faithful creator. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Pickett, and this will be followed by a church meeting. And on Friday, Mr. Pickett is expected to preach, and next Lord's Day, Mr. Jabez Rutt. And collections next Lord's Day are for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association. Let us close with hymn 943. The God of grace delights to hear the plaintive cry, the humble prayer, nor shall the weakest saint complain that he has sought the Lord in vain. Hymn 943.
Please to own and bless the ordinances of thy house this day, to the glory of thy name, all those things attended to, And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt also pardon and forgive all that we may have thought or said or done amiss. Take us each to our homes in peace and safety. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.